supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness. And I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Peace and salutations be upon all of you, dear friend, of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today, Thursday, is the 10th of Rabiul Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 6th of the month of Azar, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 26th of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Today's special offers its condolences on demise anniversary of Lady Masuma, peace be upon her.
Ya bint Musa wa ibnat al-athari ukht al-ridha wa habibat al-jabbar من زار قبرك في الجنان جزاء هذا هو المنصوص في الأخبار.
السلام عليك، السلام عليك، السلام عليك يا بنت رسول الله، السلام عليك يا بنت فاطمة وخديجة، السلام عليك يا السلام عليك يا بنت الحسن والحسين السلام عليك.
The learned divine lady from the holy Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all. Hazrat Masuma was brought up in a very noble family. She was daughter of Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, the sister of Imam Reza, and the aunt of Imam Muhammad Taqi al-Jawad, alayhi salam. She was taught all the Islamic sciences by Imam Musa Kazem and Imam Reza, and she transmitted a hadith, that means traditions, from them. She became famous as Alama, that means the learned lady, and Muhaditha, that means the learned lady who transmitted ahadith, that means traditions. The traditions quoted by Hazrat Masuma are among the most authentic traditions which are present in various books of traditions. Hazrat Fatima bint Musa al-Kazim was most pious, noble, and reverend lady. Like her holy grandmother, Hazrat Fatima Zahra alayha salam, she was always busy in performing salat, prayer, and kept fast most of the days. She was greatly respected and revered by her holy father, Imam Musa al-Kazim alayha salam, and her elder brother, Imam Reza. She became famous as Masuma, that means the Immaculate, during her lifetime. Imam Reza has said about Hazrat Fatima Masuma that whoever performs the ziyarah of Fatima, visiting of Fatima Masuma in Qom, is like the person who has performed my ziyarah.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This short episode pertains to the demise of Hazrat Masuma Salamullah Alayha. Hazrat Masuma Salamullah Alayha, as we know, was a daughter of the seventh infallible Imam, Musa ibn Ja'far Salamullah Alayhi, and she was sister of the eighth infallible Imam, Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha Alayhi Salam. We find that Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam and Hazrat Masuma salamullah alayha were from the same mother and the same father. We find that Hazrat Masuma salamullah alayha was really a knowledgeable lady, such that some of the religious queries were answered, by her. She answered many religious queries. When her answers to those queries were presented to the seventh infallible Imam, were presented to her father, the seventh infallible Imam, Musa ibn Ja'far salamullah alayhi, he endorsed them and indicated that her answers to the queries were all correct. We find that Hazrat Masuma salamullah alayha will certainly intercede for whoever believes in her and in the Islamic religion. And at the same time, we find that Hazrat Masroor Salam Allah Alayha has been one of the ladies, the merit of paying pilgrimage to her shrine and tomb is only being allowed into the divine paradise. And this is an exceptional grace bestowed on her because of her sublime religious position. Thank you.
معصومة هاي اخت الرضا هاي النجيبة ماتت غريبة فاطمة ماتت غريبة بصواب اخوها انصابت بجرح المصيبة ماتت غريبة فاطمة
Demise of Hazrat Masuma alayha salam. In the year 200 AH, a year after the forced migration of Imam Reza from Medina to Merv in Khorasan by reigning Abbasid Caliph Ma'mun, Hazrat Masuma, accompanied by her brothers, left Medina from Khorasan to meet her elder brother Imam Reza. When they reached Sava in the central Iran, they were attacked by the Abbasid army and many of his brothers were mercilessly martyred. Hazrat Masuma became severely ill and in this condition she migrated to Qum, where she was warmly welcomed by the Shia of the city. The effect of poisoning increased during her short stay in Qum and she attained martyrdom in 10th of Rabiul Thani, 201 AH. Hazrat Masuma had great longing to meet her brother Imam Reza, but due to her sudden demise, she could not meet him. Imam Reza alayhi salam was deeply grieved when he came to know about the demise of her beloved sister, Hazrat Fatima Masuma. Dear friend, dear Muslim, dear Shia all over the world, please accept our condolences on the demise anniversary of Hazrat Fatima Masuma alayha salam.
As-salamu alayya bint Rasulillah. As-salamu alayya bint Fatima wa Khadija. As-salamu
of the Islamic Ummah Ayatollah Khamenei in a speech said, "There is no doubt that Hazrat Fatima Masuma played an indisputably important role in helping Qum become Qum. She played an undeniable role in helping this historical and religious city gain prominence. Through her journey among the companions and friends of the infallible Imams, and by traveling through different cities and sowing the seeds of knowledge and wilayah during her journey, especially after arriving in the city of Qum, this honorable lady, this young girl who had been educated by the Holy Prophet's household, caused Qum to shine as the main stronghold of the teachings of the Holy Prophet's household during the dark reign of oppressors. She made the city a stronghold for transferring the light of knowledge and the teachings of the Holy Prophet's household to the east and west of the world of Islam."
Imam Reza was asked, or he told people, Whomever visits my sister Al-Ma'suma, because he was still alive when she died. He said, whomever visits my sister Al-Ma'suma, then Allah will grant him Jannah, inshaAllah. Sayyid Al-Mar'ashi Al-Najafi, Ayatullah, Mar'aji Al-Najafi, he says, one day, one night, I could not sleep. Something happened, I could not sleep the night. And it was cold, winter cold. So I decided to go to the haram of Al-Ma'suma alayha salam, Fatima. But then I remembered the haram is closed at this time of the night. So I thought, let me go back, try to sleep until it's before Fajr time. Then I can go. That's when they open the haram and I'll go visit. He said, so I slept with my head, with my hand under my head, so I don't go in a deep sleep. So then I can wake up and go. He says, the moment I put my head, a little while later, I went into sleep and I saw Fatima al-Ma'suma alayhi salam in my dream telling me, go and rescue my Zuwar. Go help my Zuwar. He said, I woke up from the dream, you know, from the sleep. I was shocked. What is this? So he said, in that cold, I ran to the haram of al-Ma'suma alayhi salam. I saw a group of Zuwar. Apparently they were from Pakistan. Some Zuwar have come. They didn't realize, I guess, the haram was closed that night. So they were standing behind that haram and they were freezing. So this marja, Sayyid Mar'ashi al-Najafi, he said, I knocked at the door of the shrine. A man opened the door. He said he recognized me. His name was Hajji Habib, Agha Habib. I told him, Hajji, these guys are the Zuwar of Fatima al-Ma'suma. And look, they're freezing. So open the door for them. Let them get in. He said, no problem, Sayyid. Please, come on in. So he said, they all went in. They rushed to do the ziyarah. I want to do my wudu and to pray. So this noble lady, mu'minin and mu'minat, takes care of her zuwar.
Dear friend, today's special offers its condolences on the demise anniversary of Lady Fatima Masuma alayha salam. Fi amanillah.
Ya Fatimatu, ishfa'i li fil jannah, fa inna laki 'inda Allahi sha'nan min ash-sha'n. Ya Fatimatu, اشفعي لي في الجنة فإن لك عند الله شأنا من الشأن اللهم إني أسألك أن تختم لي بالسعادة فلا تسلب مني ما أنا فيه ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم.
Food for thought.
Well, dear listeners, and condolences to you all on a doleful day. Today is the 10th of Rabiul Thani, and is the passing away anniversary of one of the noblest ladies of the Prophet's blessed household. She was Hazrat Fatima Ma'suma, peace be upon her, the daughter of Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, who, after a brief 17-day sojourn in the Iranian city of Qom, failed to recover from the fatigue of the long journey from Medina and departed for the ethereal heavens. On hearing this sad news, her brother, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him, who was in Khurasan, gave the tidings. Whoever visits her tomb, cognizant of her status, paradise is the reward.
Amen.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Firstly, we would like to send our deepest and sincerest condolences to the Imam of the time, Imam al-Sahib al-Asri wa al-Zaman, and to all Shia, and you know, to all followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. On this being the day of the demise of the aunt of Imam al-Sahib al-Asri wa al-Zaman, the daughter of Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, the sister of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, Bibi Fatima and Lady Fatima al-Ma'asuma Salamullah alayha, that beloved individual who is buried in the city of Qom and who is a great source of blessings for this city and whose burial in the city has been narrated in traditions from the Imams, and one of those very few individuals who are from the family of the Imam whose visitation has been stressed upon by the Imams, and not only one Imam, at least three Imams have mentioned the visitation of this blessed lady. That shows the importance of her. In this tradition from Imam Ridha alayhi salam, it's a very beautiful tradition. We see two important things, or rather three important things can be taken from this tradition. One, the importance of the visitation of this blessed lady. Two, the name Ma'asuma was actually something that was given to her by the Imam alayhi salam. And three, that the Imam is comparing and saying that the similitude of her visitation and the reward of actually going to her is the same as coming to me. So three very important points can be taken from this tradition from Imam Ridha alayhi salam. So the Imam says that whoever manzar al-ma'asuma, so this is important, that the word ma'asuma is actually within this tradition. That the Imam is saying whoever visits ma'asuma biqum, in the holy city of Qum, it is like that person, kaman zarani, is like that person who has come and visited me, obviously in the blessed city of Mashhad. So here we say that an imam, an individual, is stressing upon the visitation of a particular individual. This individual has been named Ma'asuma by the Imam himself. So the title of Ma'asuma is given to her by Imam Ridha alayhi salam. And then the Imam is saying that if you go to her, you get the same reward as you are coming to me. And in the traditions, we have many traditions that mention the reward of a person who visits Imam Ridha alayhi salam. So many hajjs, so many umrah. Again, the discussion of difference between physical reward and, you know, spiritual reward and spiritual thing is something for a later time. But then what is more important is that we seek proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via these individuals. And this individual, this daughter of an imam, a sister of the imam, and the aunt of the imam, is a specific, you know, vehicle with which we can reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by, and it's a special one as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to visit her as much as possible, inshaAllah, and to gain the blessings that are, you know, hidden in that specific visitation of her, inshaAllah. Until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door.
Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, a program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first we are going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. John Nash, in the preface of his book, The Wisdom of the Quran, wrote, "The Quran in its original Arabic dress has a seductive beauty and charm of its own. Couched in concise and exalted style, its brief pregnant sentences, often rhymed, possess an expressive force and explosive energy which it is extremely difficult to convey by literal word-for-word translation." Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 15 to 23 of Surah Al-Dhariyat, recited by Abdul Ati Nasif. Let's listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إن المتقين في جنات وعيون آخذين ما آتاهم ربهم إنهم كانوا قبل ذلك محسنين كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون وبالأسحار هم يستغفرون وفي الأرض آيات للموقنين وفي أنفسكم أفلا تبصرون وفي السماء رزقكم وما توعدون فورب السماء والأرض إنه لحق مثل ما أنكم تنطقون فورب السماء والأرض إنه لحق مثل ما أنكم تنطقون صدق الله العلي العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. What you just listened to was a recitation of Surah Al-Dhariyat, verses 15 to 23, recited by Sheikh Abdul Alti Nasif. Now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن المتقين في جنات وعيون جنات وعيون. We have إدغام of نون ساكنة into the letter واو, which is one of the letters of يرملون and also يمون. So we have إدغام مع الغنة. So we have to hold the waw nasally while applying the idgham. جنات وعيون. And the sound obviously comes from both the nose and the mouth, because there is no obstruction in the mouth, because you're pronouncing a waw.
آخذين ما آتاهم ربهم. ربهم.
Ra has to be pronounced with tafkhim because it has a fatha.
إنهم كانوا قبل ذلك محسنين.
قبل. We have qalqala of the ba and we also have tafkhim of the qaf. Qaf has to be pronounced with thickness. Qa, not qa. Okay.
كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون.
قليلا من الليل. Again we have إدغام مع الغنة, إدغام of نون ساكنة مع الغنة. But this time it's a complete غنة. It's not a partial غنة, because you are completely obstructing the oral cavity with your lips while pronouncing ميم.
قليلا من الليل.
Okay, so the sound only comes from the nose. You can test this. If you close your nose with your fingers, no sound comes out. See, if you say qalilam, see, there's no sound. If you pinch your nose with your index finger and thumb, if still sound is coming, it means that you're not applying the ghunna correctly.
وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ.
أَسْحَارِ. The ra has tarqiq because it has a kasra. It has to be pronounced with thinness.
وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقُّ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ.
So we have mad here. لِلسَّائِلِ. We have mad المتصل. واجب المتصل. You have to lengthen this mad to 4 or 5 vowel counts, because the sabab of the mad and the long vowel itself are in the same word. They're muttasil, they're conjunct.
So you have to lengthen it to 4 or 5 vowel counts. وَفِي الْأَرْضِ آيَاتٌ لِلْمُوقِنِينَ آيَاتٌ لِلْمُوقِنِينَ This is idgham of nun sakina bila ghunna. There's no ghunna in this because we don't have one of the letters of yamun. We have lam, and lam does not have ghunna. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبَصِرُونَ أَنفُسِكُمْ We have ikhfa of nun sakina. And you know how to apply ikhfa. We have to approximate the place of articulation of the letter of ikhfa and at the same time make a nasal sound for 2 vowel counts. And then pronounce the letter of ikhfa. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ You have to make sure that we apply ilhar of mim sakina in the phrase rizqukum wa ma tu'adun because mim and waw are both labial consonants. There should be no idgham. Rizqukum wa ma tu'adun is incorrect. Rizqukum wa ma tu'adun. You have to pronounce the mim completely and then pronounce the waw. فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْطِقُونَ Now there are 2 letters of istila in this verse that have to be pronounced with the lowest level of tafkhim. The first one is the dad in al-ard, wal-ardi, and also تَنْطِقُونَ طِي. We don't say طُي or لُي. Okay, so the tafkhim is lowered to the lowest level. Thank you, dear listeners, for listening to this program. Until next time, we leave you in Allah's care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners, in continuing our discussion on Fir'aun and the verses from Surah Yunus, that is verses number 90 to 92, which mentions the story of Fir'aun and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that no, we will preserve your body and this body of yours will be preserved as a lesson for those to come after. And in our previous program we mentioned that what some of the Mufassireen or the commentators of the Holy Quran or the early commentators rather have said that this was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically preserved the body from the creatures of the Nile. He was not eaten, he was not, you know, the body was preserved, did not decompose, and was sent to the shore. While being on the shore, when people would pass by, they would see the body and then take lessons from it. However, it has been mentioned in the tafsir or in the commentary by one of the famous commentators of the Holy Quran, Tantawi, who is an Egyptian scholar. He mentions that, you know, during his time, 100 years before his time. So basically, for example, we can say, you know, not five centuries, 5,000 years after the event of the story of the Holy Quran between Musa and Fir'aun. This is he mentions. The French and the English and everybody else decided to go and plunder, as we mentioned in our previous session, that they went, yes, they did find out some stuff, they did explore, they did, you know, uncover and discover things, but yes, they also plundered, they also took things that did not belong to them. But anyway, that's another discussion. So anyway, they found during the digging and during the exploration and excavation, a body that remained sahih, that remained, you know, preserved and was, you know, intact. There's nothing wrong with it. And after all that time, they found that not a single effect from time, from decomposition or whatever, affected this body. It remained the same. And according to some of the calculations and according to the principles of anthropology and archaeology and whatever else they use, they said that no, this is that very same Fir'aun who lived during the time of Musa alayhi salam. And then also other scholars and other, for example, archaeologists from other countries also then came and looked at this body, and they, you know, confirmed the findings of these, you know, the previous scholars. So we see that one of the then museums in Egypt has now been showing this. Obviously, this is not the case anymore. This body has been moved from place to place. Where it is now, I don't actually know where. But we know that it has been moved from place to place. And therefore, we see that the body of Fir'aun is actually a lesser. However they found it, whether they found it or not, regardless how they found it, the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala runs true, that this body of Fir'aun has gone throughout the world. And people have seen it. People can go on the internet and type in the pharaohs, and they can see them, that how they lived and what happened to them. And this verse runs true, that yes, the body of Fir'aun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a lesson for those to come after, that look what happened to you in the end. Regardless, you will die, you will come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listener of Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, we invite you to listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
My dear brothers and sisters in Iman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This evening, as we've gathered together, albeit once again virtually, we gather to commemorate the death anniversary of a very important woman in the history of Islam. A very important figure within the family of the Prophet, within the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim wassalatu wassalam. And that is none other than the daughter of our seventh Imam, whom we affectionately refer to as Fatima al-Ma'suma, or Bibi Fatima, or Bibi Masma Ikum. May God's blessings be upon her. And in this event, we begin by extending our condolences to the 12th Imam, Imam al-Hujjah, May Allah hasten his return. We also extend our condolences to all of the Maraji Taqlid, the ulama, the scholars who are serving during the occultation of our 12th Imam. And we convey our condolences to each and every one of you, the lovers and followers of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon all of them. And especially those who have been blessed to have visited Sayyidah Masuma alayha salam, and who have perhaps even had the opportunity to live within the sacred precincts in the blessed city of Qum. This evening, as we begin this talk on reflections on the life of Sayyidah Fatima Masuma alayha salam, and the main theme for tonight as well, I wanted to take this opportunity to begin by just reflecting a bit on the history of who this woman is and just some general issues before I go into my main theme for tonight. Now, I don't want to go too much into the life of the seventh Imam, but obviously we know that Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kadhim alayhi salatu wassalam, our seventh Imam, that he was obviously forced, as many of the members of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon all of them, were at one time or another in their lives forced to leave their home of the city of Medina, Madinatul Nabi, Madinatul Munawwara, the blessed city of the Prophet. And because of the political climate, because of the political interference of people like the Banu Umayyah, like the Banu Abbas, like these unjust governments of that time, the Imams were forced to have to migrate, whether it be, for example, to Kadhimain, whether it be to Samarra, whether it be all the way to the land of Mashhad where Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam is buried. That this has been a pattern, a hallmark in the lives of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and not only the Ahlul Bayt, but all of those men and women who are trying to serve Allah and who find themselves in the way as they are being opposition to the government and the powers that be of the time. The seventh Imam, although we don't have any clear record of the number of spouses which he had, however, Sheikh Al-Mufid, the author of many books, such as Kitab al-Irshad, of the many books that he has written, he lists that the seventh Imam, Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, had a total of 37 children. That is 18 sons and 19 daughters. And obviously, like all of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the children obviously hold a special place of reverence. Some of them, as we have maybe seen, if we've studied history, some of the children of the Imams were not necessarily the best. Some of them went and disobeyed their father, the Imam of the time, that is. But for the most part, when we look at the lives of the Imams, their children were on the straight and narrow. And out of these 37 children that the seventh Imam, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far, alayhi salam, Babul Hawaij, out of the 37 children that he had, two of them obviously stand out more than all of the others. Not that the other ones are less important. No, but they all obviously have a relevance and they have a place in the heart of the Imam. But obviously, some of them end up shining more than others. From the men, from the boys, from the sons, obviously that was the eighth Imam and his heir, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha, alayhi salatu wassalam. From the women, although he had again 19 daughters, but the one that stands out most prominently is the one that you and I have gathered tonight to remember her martyrdom, her death anniversary. That is Fatima bint Musa ibn Ja'far alayhum assalam, also known as Bibi Masuma Ikum or Fatima al-Ma'asuma alayha assalam. Now we have a hadith, let me begin with this, from our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him. And obviously he mentioned this hadith well before the birth of Sayyidah Masuma, well before the city of Qum perhaps was as established as it began to be later on in Islamic history. And the sixth Imam has been quoted as saying, and I'll paraphrase the hadith, in which he says that indeed Allah has a haram, a sanctuary. And the sixth Imam says that sanctuary is a city of Mecca. The sixth Imam then goes on to say that the Messenger of Allah, the Prophet Muhammad, may God's blessings be upon him and his family, has a haram, and that is a city of Medina. Then the sixth Imam says that the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has a haram, a sanctuary, a place of refuge, and that is the city of Kufa. And then the sixth Imam says something very interesting. He takes a turn and he says, indeed, we, the Ahlul Bayt, have a haram, a sanctuary. And he didn't say Najaf, he didn't say Karbala, didn't say Kadhimain or Samarra. He says that we have a sanctuary, and that is the city of Qum. He goes on to say that very soon in the future, that there will be an individual from our family who will be buried in this city. And he mentions that the one who makes her ziyarah, who pays visitation to her at her shrine, that paradise will become an obligation, that that person will be worthy and should be deemed as being worthy of entering into paradise. Now obviously there is an entire discussion amongst the scholars of what does this mean, that whether Imam says wajabat lahul jannah, that paradise will become obligatory on the person. Obviously there are many conditions and criteria that go along with it. Not that you just go to Qom for a few hours and you sit in the haram or you shop in the market, and now that you've visited her shrine, you're now entitled to this benefit. No, obviously it goes much deeper than that. But I don't want to go into that, but you know, just to reflect on this for a moment, that when the sixth Imam has been reported as saying these words, although Qom may have already been a city or a village or a town that was established, it did not have that level of prominence as we see that it has taken on today, or it has taken on over the last 50 to 60 years since the establishment of the Hawza Ilmiya, the theological seminary that Sheikh Abdul Karim Al-Hayri, may Allah elevate his rank, that he established moving from Iraq to the city of Qom. Obviously Sayyida Masuma, peace be upon her, being buried in Qom gives it a sense of respect and reverence. But the sixth Imam is showing that that city is a level, or a city rather, of sanctuary, a haram, a place of comfort, of ease, of tranquility for the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalatu wassalam. However, you look at the ziyarah of Sayyida Masuma alayhi salam buried in Qom, and scholars tell us that she is the only woman who has a ziyarat given directly by one of the infallible Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam. It just shows the great status of Fatima Masuma alayhi salam. Unfortunately, we have underestimated this grand woman. We have not given her the worth that she is due. Many times when the Zuwar come to Iran for ziyarah, and they are told, okay, you'll spend, for example, 4 days in Mashhad or 5 days in Mashhad and 2 days in Tehran, many of the groups that come and go will be there on a Tuesday for maybe 4 or 5 hours. A quick trip to the Haram of Qom to her shrine, maybe a few hours in Masjid Jamkaran for Dua Tawassul, and then off they go. Without really taking in the importance of the city of Qom, the scholarship of the city of Qom, and obviously the shrine and the vast complex that houses her shrine, in which many other scholars have been buried, and which we all owe a debt of gratitude to.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Matin شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Thank you. is Back to Reality. Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Roundtable from Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to the program Back to Reality on IRIB English Radio. With me today are two lovely brothers. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. This is Mohsen Naqvi. Thanks for inviting.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Daro from US. Thank you.
Assalam. So, brothers and sisters, today's topic is very much related to social media. And, you know, we have people today that, and I'm trying to imagine if I did this or not. No, I didn't post any pictures of my kids. But anyway, the topic is that, you know, today people post pictures of their children from the day that they're born until they're pretty much grown-ups on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on you name it. I don't even know what else is out there. Is there anything wrong with this? You know, you're just sharing pictures of your kids. People want to see it. Your family likes it. Any dangers? Anything wrong with this?
Well, definitely it's not the right thing to do. And the reason for that is, first of all, it's not the choosing the name for your child, because you have to choose the name for your child to mm-hmm. call the kid, because this is your name. You have to call him, refer him to something. So you have to choose a name, and you have obligation as Islamically to choose the proper name for him or her. What it comes to the society is that you dealing with the innocent individual in the same way you don't have no right to harm the innocent individual, innocent mm-hmm. kid. So you cannot go and slap the infant. You cannot torture right. the kid.
Are you saying posting a picture is like slapping your kid?
Again, goes back to the topic of okay. dignity. So each individual has dignity, and Allah gives the right and dignity to that individual kid, the infant that grows up until he has the free will. He can distinguish uh-huh. between the right and wrong. Then the burden is from your shoulder to his, to himself.
Right.
So until that time, you're responsible to protect and provide the kid as an best individual in the society. And again, as a character for Islamic religion.
Posting a picture of your kid, how is that related to what you're seeing? How is that harming the kid?
Well, there is a sickness and disease. Uh-huh. So the people are like looking to hunt for children and mm-hmm. taking advantage of children. So especially with this time of technology. So if you're exposing yourself, you putting your own kid mm-hmm. as a target for these wolves to come right. and prey on your kid.
I think one thing you said that, you know, that the kids don't really have a choice in this, right? The parents are making their choices for them. So in a way, you're taking away the control from the kid. The child doesn't have any choice in what's being posted online, right, about themselves. So do you think also that this is a huge danger? Do you see any benefits to it? You know, what are your thoughts?
Obviously, there is a danger in this, and obviously, as brother has mentioned, every single soul, every single human being has a respect and dignity, and we should respect them in the way obviously they are, and we should let them make their own respect. This way, obviously, when you're taking a choice from a kid, from a child who's been born from the first day you're taking his pictures till the maybe the earlier age, obviously you are not leaving anything for them. Even they cannot freely move in the society.